Okay, last Wednesday we talked about the integrity of God's Word, and this is absolutely everything. And, you know, we decided right off the get-go that God cannot lie, but we obviously know that there's a lot of people that run around acting like He does. They won't say that, they'll say God is true 100% of the time. But when it comes to matching up their reality with the Word of God, it's like something has changed. You know, they'll ask for some certain thing in prayer, and you'll show them the Word of God, so this is what the Word of God says. And they'll agree with it, but when they get out in the world, they float a different direction. Kind of like maybe God changed His mind. And what I learned a long time ago is to take whatever I believe and just lay it bare on the table and match it up to the Bible and say, okay, what's right? If whatever I'm believing doesn't line up with the Word of God, then it gets swept away. You know, we have to come to this understanding that God cannot lie. That He cannot repent like men. He's not going to change His mind. What He said, that's what it is. What He says, He will do. He will make it good. All we have to do is believe. Believe it and receive it. This is where your faith may get challenged and stretched like a big rubber band. You may think it's going to snap, but if you stay on it, your faith will launch you forward. But just you got to sometimes be hard-headed about some of this stuff. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. You know, one good practice that people can do is ask themselves, whenever they're doing something, ask themselves, why do I believe what I believe? Literally take a topic, just any particular subject, and ask yourself, why do I believe this certain way about this? And if it starts with anything other than exactly what the Bible says, then you really need to investigate that and say, okay, what's the truth here? You know, because there's a lot of people that will believe their church doctrine over what the Bible says. And there are people that will believe mama over what the Bible says. And that's a dangerous place to be. We take what the Bible says and believe that. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. No word of God is void of power. Just like the rain and the snow that waters the earth, the word of God will produce fruit. It will produce fruit. We have to take that word and sow it. See, the Bible tells us that the sower sows the word. We are the sowers. We take His word and we sow it into our lives. We sow it into our circumstances. We sow it into whatever we need. We sow it into that spot. And it will produce fruit. Well, we have to stand over that word and watch over that word and keep our confession the same. What people have a bad habit of doing is sowing the word and going out there and digging their seed up. You know, or they'll let their mouth run wild and they'll sow some good word, but then they'll sow some weed seeds in there. And then they're wondering why they're getting mixed crops. We want to sow the pure word of God into our situation, and only that. Now go over to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12 says, "Then saith the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to performance." See, God watches over his word to performance. And actually, we have a high priest in heaven, and his name is Jesus. And he's watching over this covenant, the New Testament. He's watching over this covenant to make sure that this thing gets performed on our behalf. He just needs just a little bit of cooperation from us. See, he needs somebody to take his word and put it in the atmosphere and stand on that. That also gives angels, that gives them a job. See, the Bible tells us that angels hearken unto the voice of his word. So when we take his word, put it in the atmosphere, it gets them angels activated too. So that's a good thing. We have Jesus. We have angels. Oh, by the way, God is our Father. And we have Holy Spirit who's here to help us. We have a rigged court in our favor. Now, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 says, "That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." See, confirming again that it is impossible for God to lie. So now what do we do? What do we do with this information knowing that God cannot lie? So now, we take his word, we carry it into his presence, and we repeat it. We say, "Father, this is what you said." This is not being arrogant, not being cocky, but this is true Bible humility and faith. That's how we pray. We take his word into his presence, and we're there because of the blood of Jesus. We go there, we have boldness to enter into his presence because of the blood of Jesus. We take his word before him, and we repeat it to him. We can say, "Father, this is what your word says, that it is written, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now, since we know that God cannot lie, we can rest easy. That doesn't mean that we're going to sit on our butts and do nothing. The Bible tells us he will bless the work of our hands. We've got to do something, put our hands to work. Knowing this, that our job gives us seed to sow. And God can take that seed and multiply it and do way more with that than what we could if we kept it. The Bible tells us it is his good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God. It's His good pleasure to bless us. It's His good pleasure to prosper us. It's His good pleasure to heal us. God takes delight in doing good things to us. But He takes delight in us receiving from Him. See, the church seems to have mastered the part in asking God for all these things. But the Bible tells us that God has freely given us all things with Christ. So maybe we should turn our focus on to thanking Him. See, Jesus thanked His way into a miracle. He got to the tomb of Lazarus and He looked up and He said, "Father, I thank You for hearing my prayers. I thank You for always hearing me." He thanked His way. You know, if somebody gives you something, you say thank you, don't you? Now, see, we're to operate by faith, so even though we can't see it, we can't feel it, touch it, smell it, taste it, we know that God has already given it to us, so we thank Him for it. And then guess what happens? It materializes. We see it. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. Now, this is a good one to remember here. Take your crayon and circle this. It says, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. So there's good news. God blots out our transgressions, and He doesn't remember our sins, not for our sake, but for His sake. Did you get that? He blots out our transgressions for His sake, and He doesn't remember our sins anymore. So that will give you some boldness. And then the very next verse, He said, "Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified." He said to put Him in remembrance of His word. We take His word and we return it to Him. And we use the name of Jesus, and guess what we just did? We just followed the directions. Now, He did said, "Let us plead together." So that means we're not going to be doing all the talking. We're going to have to do some listening too. See, God knows everything. In the whole scheme of things, we know very little. I mean, even the smartest man in the world knows very little in comparison to the Creator of everything. You know, there's still things that we haven't even discovered yet. You know, there's minerals that we haven't even heard of. They just found a river underneath the ocean. How does that work? It seems like every time you turn around, they've just discovered some new creature that nobody's ever seen. Well, at least none of us. We didn't know about it. Well, God did. You know, we keep on creating faster computers and bigger telescopes, and we keep on getting more and more intelligence, and all we do is just catch up just a little bit more with God. We're not there yet. We got this emails where these emails can be all the way across the world in no time. And we still haven't caught up with God. You know, we can pray a prayer right here. And that prayer is having an effect in Australia. While we're saying it. We don't have a computer that fast. Not even a quantum computer. We're never going to get caught up with God. He knows everything. He's been everywhere. He's made everything. So, what makes more sense? Us doing all the talking? Or Him? See, it's great to pray, and it's important to pray, and we should ask God for help. We should ask God for guidance, and we should also stop and listen so we can get the answer. So look at 1 John chapter 5. This is really, really good guidance for prayer. If you ever really want to tune up your prayer life and really be on solid ground, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. See, there's a little checklist that you can go through. There's only two verses. But this checklist is so powerful. Says, this is the confidence that we have in Him. Okay, so just stop right there. There's a comma right there, so let's stop. This is the confidence that we have in Him. Do we understand that God cannot lie? Okay. Now, do we also understand, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 1, that there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus? Once we get born again, there's no condemnation for us. We're under the blood of Jesus. Jesus took care of that. So we can go boldly into God's presence and understand that He's not going to lie to us. See, dealing with the world, it's almost a shock if somebody doesn't lie to you. In the business world, that's rampant. So sometimes people get a little bit confused. And children, you know, their parents will tell their children something and then they'll go back on their word. You should not do that. That breaks your children's confidence in you, and it breaks your children's confidence in God. See, they have a hard time understanding that God's not going to be the same way mom and dad are. I ran into people that really, really, really had a hard time believing that God is a loving God because they had such abusive parents. See, we have to really pay attention to what we're doing. Then you need to be the salt of the earth. We need to understand that God created that salt and that He really is good for His word. He will not repent. Well, the one thing that really will help to understand this, that if Jesus ever lied, He would have to bow His knee to Satan, because Satan is the father of all lies. Now that's just not going to happen. God is not going to lie. He holds His word above His own name. Now let's go on here to this next bit. We got the confidence part down. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, one of my biggest pet peeves in the religious world is you ask for the things that you need. No, that's not what the Bible says. It says, If you ask anything according to His will, which we know that His will is His word, His will is His word. So if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. This is important. A lot of people have no idea that God hears them. They're hoping that God hears them. They're hoping that God does something. They're hoping that maybe they can get set free. They're hoping that maybe God will meet this need. They're hoping. But they're not believing. There's a difference between hope and faith. We do need to have hope. You know, the Bible talks about God in us, Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. We hold on to that hope. We're going to see Jesus. We're going to see Jesus face to face. And it's going to be a glorious day. But we can have glorious days right here on this earth in the face of all of our enemies. The glory of God can be seen on us. Now the next verse, now that we've figured out that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So we know that we're not under condemnation. We have confidence in Him. We know that He cannot lie. We know that we can go boldly into His throne room of grace. We know that as long as we follow the directions, which is His will, and we return His word to Him, pray His word back to Him, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. We know that we're going to get an answer, and it's going to be yes. You cannot find anywhere in the Bible where God said no, maybe, or later. Man made that up. The answer is yes. If you believe it, you will receive it. That's our part. We have to come to believe His word. Actually, the Bible tells us that Abraham became fully persuaded in God's word. He had to walk around meditating on His word. That's what we have to do. We have to walk around meditating on God's word, His promises. Take His promises and make them a part of our life. And then we'll see them in the natural. We're bringing our reality out of heaven to earth. So now, in closing, since this is our guidance for prayer, we go boldly to the throne. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus with our heart and our mouth filled with the Word of God, and we pray the answer. Did you notice that? We don't go in there telling Him about our problems. He knows about our problems. He knows what the problems are. He wants us to go on there and pray the answer. Return His word to Him so He can make it good in our life. See, that's how we sow the word. We go pray His word back to Him. Now, let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. Oops. Chapter 3, verse 21 says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God." So, now sometimes we may do something wrong, and we'll have to get our hearts right. You know, sometimes people know what they're doing is wrong. They're not living their life right, and they know it's wrong, and they don't have that confidence towards God. You know, from whatever they may be doing, they know it's wrong. And they lose confidence towards God. God's not mad at them. He wants them to turn around. He wants them to repent and get right back on the right path. See, sometimes people's confidence towards God gets shaken because of mistakes that they make. And then sometimes they keep making that mistake and they wonder why their prayer life is so frustrating. It's because they keep making the mistake that God is trying to tell them not to do. See, there is a devil out there, and he hates people, and he wants to destroy people. And he'll do anything he can do to destroy their lives, their finances, and whatever they have. But if we don't give him a doorway, he can't do it. On the other hand, if you open the door to him, you can expect trouble. But all you got to do is repent, turn around and get right, and get your confidence built back up towards God. See, God's on our side, and he's not mad at us. He's not in heaven with a chalkboard keeping track of our mistakes. And he's not cursing us. There is a curse out there. We don't qualify for the curse, but we can partake of the curse. And it's going to be by the words of our mouths and sometimes the way we live our lives. Now, this is going to be our choice. See, he gave us a free will. So it's going to be up to us how things work out down here on this earth. It's more up to us than it is up to God. See, he gave us dominion on this earth. People like to run around and say God is sovereign. And he is sovereign. He's 100% sovereign. And in his sovereignty, he gave us dominion over this earth. He told us to take care of this place. So the way things have turned out down here is more on us than it is on him. See, he blessed us. He blessed this place. Told us to be stewards of this place. So if things are kind of ratty in the government, guess who? It's up to us to change it. Things are ratty in the community, guess who? It's up to us to change it. Amen? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your word. Father, we thank you for the absolute white-hot integrity of your word. We thank you that what you said, you will do if we will believe it and receive it. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach us how to receive from our Lord and Savior Jesus. We know that God has freely given us all things with Christ Jesus. Teach us and help us to receive these many, many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.